So, Jan, I mean, did anyone think that Putin was going to take orders from Soros? Or, you know, Klaus Schwab? So America and the G7 are all on board with the Great Reset, okay? Which is to hurt you. And Putin is saying, fuck you. That's basically it, in, you know, in my opinion. So, no, I don't really root for the United States in this case. Because what Putin's doing, too, is he's also targeting, you know, the Soros Nazis from the coup d'etat. People have such a short attention span. They don't remember the coup, right? And the Ukraine's being run by Nazis. Seriously. By neo-Nazis. I'm not kidding. And they were installed by Soros and company, okay? Soros, Schwab, G7, you know, World Economic Forum, same people. Okay. And, you know, and so at some point, Putin was going to basically overturn that coup, which is what's going on now. He has made peace agreements with people in the Ukraine to protect them from the from this. And then he's really, basically, it's Soros versus the Nazis is what's really happening, which are basically installed. Not Soros. I'm sorry. Putin versus the Nazis, and you know, which were installed in also by the United States. The United States was supportive of the coup, in favor of, you know, and the United States is behind the gas prices, the Great Reset, COVID-19, the spreading of COVID-19 by the U.S. military, and the U.S. military is at war with its own people. Putin is not. So I find it amazing to hear these goddamn fucking pieces of shit on TV get all high and mighty like the United States is this, you know, God-given, wonderful, awesome people that are outraged that a tyrant like Putin would make a move against people that launched a coup d'etat on what, you know, he considered to be Russia. So, sorry about the cussing. I repent. That's taking the Lord's name in vain. Sorry. But that's the reason I'm off social media. I'm so angry at this country, frankly. And I'm so angry at citizens that walk around paying these gas prices. Don't they know that they're next? Actually, when they die, I guess that'll be a relief. You know, I don't have to worry about them anymore. They'll never wake up, in other words. Yeah, Americans don't know that their government does not represent them and that the government is the bad guy in the world stage. The U.S. is the bad guy. Putin's not the bad guy. If you heard the speech, he denounced communism. He denounced Stalin. He denounced Lenin. He denounced communism. He denounced the New World Order. He denounced all that stuff that has come to get us in the form of COVID-19, medical tyranny, gas prices, confiscatory taxes, and basically turning the U.S. into a police state by Biden and the people that back Biden up, by basically the globalist left who want the Green New Deal and the Great Reset. And that's what this is. We represent the Great Reset. We represent tyranny, totalitarianism. That's America. And that's not Russia. So I wish people would get it straight, but they won't, because the anger I have is so bad that I have to actually find a way to deal with it. And I mean, it's all I can do not to just slap people in the face when I walk by them on the street. No, I'm serious. I mean, I feel like saying, "Hey, shit for brains. Hi, how you doing? Just thought I'd punch you in the mouth. You like that? Huh? Want some more?" Because it's the citizens of the United States who gave their country up to this cabal, to this Klaus Schwab nightmare. And that's all that's going on. So, you know, the markets are already proving that there's no surprise here. This was all, you know, they knew Putin was going to make his move to take it back. They're going to try to get people on the side of America and the flag. And you don't stop that evil Putin. Anyway, I'm definitely a Putin fan in all this. So you can forget about me being, you know, hey, let's go invade. Now, there's another component to this, though, that where, you know, to where Biden and company would like Russia to go nuclear or at least take out our infrastructure of, you know, social networking and all that so we can't communicate with each other. So they're trying desperately to get Putin to launch a cyber attack on the United States, one we can't recover from. And that's to stop the organizing against the Great Reset, like the truckers going to D.C. and all that. The truckers going to D.C., it's because the government doesn't represent us. That's not our government. That government is a foreign government. Biden is a total traitor and a piece of shit to beat the band. He is pure shit. I mean, he is pure, putrid shit that should never have been born, ever. Should never have drawn breath, ever. And you can see by his son and everything else, same thing. Same thing. Just pure, unadulterated, born liar, born abomination. He's actually probably redeemed himself in the eyes of many a Satanist later in his life by being so overtly perverted and so overtly, you know, lying. And nobody calls him on it because they're all taking the money too. They sold you out. So basically, it's we the people versus the, you know, totalitarian regime of Klaus Schwab, which has bought up many a government around the world. And that's basically it. Klaus Schwab is our dictator. He is our leader. And because the COVID blew up and you blew that up, the next plan was, plan B was to go to Russian invasion, you know, not that Putin is acting on Klaus Schwab, but to try to push that aspect, meaning push it into a nuclear war, which was what Hillary was going to do when she was saying, when the commander-in-chief gives the order, that must be followed. And she was talking about use of nuclear weapons. And so that's in the playbook as well. I don't think Putin is, doing something to Klaus Schwab, like, you know, saying, I really want in, you know, I'll do this favor for you if you do a favor for me. I don't think that's really going on, but it could be, you know, I mean, it could be they're all in on it and that I'm just wrong about Putin fighting the Nazis and Putin's really a bad guy and he loves communism and he loves tyranny and he and Schwab are, you know, BFFs and I'm just full of it. So that could very easily be. And I'm very willing to you know, I get people arguing with me all the time. You know, they say, you know, Zeph, with all due respect, you know, you're wrong about this, that, and the other thing. And that's fine. I think everyone can have their opinion. I'm not offended. But on what issue was I wrong, looking back now? Probably, you know, I was wrong about, you know, the sort of wag the dog Biden thing, and Putin really was going to invade, and, you know, and the way it was played, I probably was a bit wishy-washy on that. I really couldn't make my mind up, so I was kind of going back and forth on it. I'm not sure, even now, the mechanism of Putin's invasion. Is it to re-annex the Ukraine like Crimea? You know, and also the G7, they're mad. They're all looking. See what's going on with all them is they're all broke, and they're all looking for something. And the war is perfect. Biden's numbers were so bad they were blowing up, and so he needed a war. He needed a war bad. Was Putin accommodating Biden? I guess you come in on one side or the other. Either Putin is abiding Biden and giving a war, much needed because of the during the Great Reset, the people were not having the Great Reset. They were the numbers, everything was imploding on Biden and the Democratic Party, right? So this would be a way to get some popularity back, to get in the game where Biden could roll him out every day and he'd talk to you and, you know, his numbers are going up. Look, he's handling the war. When it's his manipulation, his war, a Pentagon war, intelligence war from the get-go. He badly needed it, did he not? Because he's not done with the gas. He wants it to be $25 a gallon. He wants it to be extinct. But he also wants you to suffer. You got to understand, when Jen Psaki laughs when asked questions about the gas prices and makes light of it, it's because she likes sticking you with it. She enjoys it. They're very hostile people, and they hate your guts. They're not Americans at all. Never were. Not the Pentagon, not the U.S. Army, military, none of it anymore. Used to be, not anymore. They all got... Hey, have you heard about all the helicopters crashing for no reason, American helicopters? Even if you sent them into battle into Russia, do you think American soldiers now who are practicing, you know, being feminized and all that, do you think they can win a war? Seriously. Against Russia and China? No. And that's the first time in history, right, that has changed the balance. They can't win a war because they have been, you know, feminized. That's the whole point. I mean, I've been saying that from the very beginning, you know, about, you know, decadence. I had to get myself, you know, I recognized I fell in the trap of drugs too. And I realized where they were taking me with it. They wanted to weaken me. And they wanted to weaken my resolve. And the drugs lead to perversion, and they want to encourage perversion because perversion weakens us. We lose our resolve to fight. We lose our principles. When we give in to perversion, we will give in to selling out. We will give in to anything. I know, believe me, what I just said is 100% true, and there is no deviation from it. You know, it's going to be hard for me to, like, watch the next John Wick because I saw Keanu Reeves talking about cyber sex, and he goes, you know, he can't wait to have an avatar. He said that everyone could fuck me, and it's just cool. And what he doesn't understand, because he's stupid. I mean, that's one thing about him. He's always been stupid. But the problem, right, he's the coolest guy on the block, and because he's... says things like that. But anyway, he's did a deep dive into cyber sex, which is basically the metaverse. Okay, so metaverse is basically all it's used for is cyber sex. That's the whole point of it. But it's not just sex; it's sex games, and eventually it's going to be satanic rituals, and you know, all done. And it's a grooming tool. Kids, when they go in there, they actually get groomed and they get gang raped. Okay, so that's going to be the main focus of it, right? Once the metaverse is up and running, you can say goodbye to your kid. The kids are already, look, the kids already down to like age, you know, so they're already sexual. They're already into it. They're already, you know, they're demanding it. The kids are the big customers of sex right now. They're not innocent anymore, you know. In my day, though, kids were broken in through rape, right? Rape is grooming is rape. You rape boys and girls, and that's grooming them to know that's what's coming from the adults in the community, right? So if you have a pedophile community, you have to teach them to take it. And, you know, and then when people don't go along with it, you kill them because a lot of the kids wind up dead anyway, you know, or in stuff films or, you know, whatever use. I mean, any myriad number of uses, kids have no rights. So, I mean, they're basically, used, abused, the ones that are trafficked, you know, are either trafficked for prostitutional purposes, where there's a pimp, you know, the van that drops them off at the van at the orgy or whatever, but then also they're used for ritual killings for Satanists that have their sacrificial rites every, they have a calendar of killing, you know what I mean? They have to kill kids and babies, and they have a way of providing that, and then they have people that come pick up all the garbage and do the cleaning, and no one is the wiser. That's the way it's been going for, you know, thousands of years or, you know, whatever, here in this country for however long. And these people who run this stuff, they're the ones who captured the, they're the Great Reset. They're the same people that captured the, you can't have people that are that perverted and disgusting run your country, or you don't have a country. It will devolve to totalitarianism and perversion, meaning, you know, well, just what you have now, because the metaverse to me was the last bastion. I got to thinking about it, and I realized that all the kids are sexual. All the kids are into it. They're demanding the metaverse because they want to have sex. No, they want to have sex at, you know, 4 years old. They can have, even if you can't have you know an orgasm like an ejaculation as a boy, you still have a sensation there, right? So they're going after that. And they like it. They get a lot of attention. If they don't go along with it, then they get harassed. And like I say, they could be targeted and led to suicide and thrown in mental hospitals for the rest of their lives. Or if you don't comply, you know, it's a compliance thing. It's like the jab, right? It's like how evil the governments are. You're now seeing how evil the governments are of the world, right? You know, you don't have a government, right? You have a globalist dictatorship, a corporate fascist world run by a few people that basically intends to kill you all, to reduce you by 90% by 2030, floating rumors that you're going to be killed because of climate change, when they're the ones doing it, who are now launching World War IV, which could very well, very easily go nuclear or biological or you know, any number of ways. But you were told very accurately by a number of people who have well researched that the next thing they would do would be the financial collapse at the end of all your jobs. The end of money, the end of all of us, actually. We cannot operate without money. And so they target that. Anything they can do to hurt you, they'll do. If it's a little bit at the gas pump, if they can take your bank account, if they can get rid of, you know, whatever they can do to hurt you, even a little bit, insult you in the elevator, call you names if you're trying to be patriotic or have an idiotic American flag on your car or something like that. You know, anything they can do to bring harm and destruction and gaslighting and psychological pain to you. Anything they can say or do, they are hardwired to do it all day long, every day. They were cheering and cheering when the Canadian police took their horses and they walked over that woman that was crippled. She was handicapped. She had a walker, and they wrecked her. They hurt her very badly. Her spine, I think, broke or something very serious, life threatening. And she was crippled. You know, I don't like the word crippled, but you know, she was severely harmed. Did you know that the people in Hollywood, celebtards and other kind of people, and, you know, just people on the left or on Twitter, you know, the Twitterverse, do you know they all cheered on her death and were just rooting for her to die? She was there with a walker. I mean, these people do not deserve to draw another breath. If they say something like that on Twitter, you find out where they live. You can't just let them say that they wish that woman would die. and start laughing. You see, that's allowing that to go on, just allowing that to go unconfronted is what has brought us to this point. You can't have these people cheering on burning down cities, and then somebody who had nothing to do with even being in the Capitol on January 6th, having them locked in solitary confinement and tortured, and then having them laugh about it. You can't let that person laugh about it. There is no far right. There is a leftist Bolshevik revolution going on, trying to overthrow all these countries for the Great Reset. There's that. The rest of the people fall somewhere in the middle, you know, somewhat conservative or somewhat liberal. But I've been reading like Jacobin magazine, and I've been reading a lot of left-wing dedicated magazines. They don't seem to have anything to do with these people I'm talking about. You know, in fact, I had an article published about me and Brian Usna, the director of Society and other, you know, he's a horror icon, that we did an article in Jacobin a few months ago. They wanted to do a review of Society because it was Eat the Rich, right? It's the communists love that Eat the Rich theme, right? And so we did our interview. It was great. So I've been reading the magazine. There's nothing unreasonable. I mean, we get along fine. I'm not this far right crazy, you know, at all. They say if you have Jesus, you're far right. You're a far right bigot. It's not true. Not true at all. So they lie and they impugn your reputation, and they wreck you and try to cancel you if you have a affinity, if you have a feeling for God, if you're thankful to the Lord. You know, I wonder what they would really think about Anthony Hopkins, or Anthony Hopkins, he quit drinking because he found the Lord, found Jesus, whatever, and he was able to get off the drinking. And, you know, what a great testimony. Or, you know, someone like John Voight, who's pretty much a radical leftist. Not leftist, but I mean, you know, he's like kind of a radical, you know, because that's what was going on back then with anti-Vietnam. He did an anti-Vietnam movie. And then he, you know, met the Lord, and, you know, he turned his life around. And then he's vilified for the rest of his life as some evil person. So obviously this is false. The reality they have is false. I am not far right. I am pretty much middle of the road, and kind of like I take each issue as it comes. I think people should be allowed to worship or not worship as they please. You should be free to pursue whatever it is you want to pursue spiritually. That's up to you, and that should be your choice. That is really not a far-right position at all. At all. At all. I definitely am for life, though. If you have a baby that's viable and they want to abort them and then sell their organs, I believe that's murder, and I'm against that. But that's what puts you in the category. You're not willing to murder? Well, then you're not in our satanic club. And the satanic club is all about, I told you, that was the whole thing when I was a kid with their cult Beverly Hills. Basically, at the end of the day, it's about murder. It's not about, you know, child abuse, although that's a big thing for them, to have children who will go along and ones who won't get tossed in the slammer, you know, or in the mental hospital or driven to suicide. That's the way it was then. Now, today, same thing, only most kids are going along with it. And are allowing themselves to be, you know, castrated and, turned from, you know, to try. I do believe that the transgender movement is about the transhumanist movement, ultimately, that gender is fluid, so bodies are fluid. See, it's a very small leap. But that makes me a thinker. Being able to discern that or deduce that makes me a thinker, a good thinker. I'm a good thinker. I think things through. That doesn't make me a social pariah. If someone wants to call me a social pariah because I think that I have an opinion on any given subject, that's not the orthodoxy of people with an IQ of 80 or something. You know what I mean? The stupids that run the government and the news media, they're dumb people, right? Very, very, very stupid. Well, because they contradict themselves every other day. They don't even, it's on tape. And you can play it back for them. And they have no response. They're hypocrites, contradicted, they're stupid. They say dumb things. And when you play it back for them, they don't seem to even bat an eye. They don't care that they are so disgusting as people. And they're a perversion of humanity. The media, the politicians, the infrastructure. You know, and that's one reason they don't have children. Because they know, you know, I just said God won't allow them to have children, many of them. Because that would be pure torture and abuse to that child. Imagine just living with someone like that. What the horror that would be for you if you were just a little kid in this, you know, this dumb, hypocrite, asshole, you know, selfish, you know, basically treating you like you're just, you know, since you were born, you're just in the way. Get out of here. And if you don't take the right opinion, then kill yourself, you know, without any regard to your life, without any regard to you as a human being. Oh, no, I've known lots of, I mean, we've all had parents like that. Yeah, they love you as long as you're going along, justifying their selling out, which is what it ended up becoming almost every other family. So now they're all sold out. You have no military. You have no law enforcement. You have no politicians. You have no Washington, D.C. You have nothing. Your country was stolen. Canadians, same thing. Australians, same thing. New Zealanders, same thing. You know, all the Western world, EU, same thing. It was stolen. And now we're all looking at Ukraine getting mad at Vladimir Putin. So Biden takes the heat off him. Guess what? I predict his ratings start going up again. You're going to love your $5, $6, $7 gas. Get those ratings up. I'll bet you anything, you people start, I mean, not you that are listening, you know, my listeners, but out there, you know, you guys are going to start boosting Biden's ratings. Not going to be fuck Joe Biden anymore. You're going to start boosting his ratings. I know it. I know it. You're going to start boosting his ratings. And while you can't even afford to get to work, while you lose your job, while you're sitting there, you know, now it won't be COVID that has you locked down. It'll be this cyber attack. It won't be Biden's fault, but it will all be on purpose. And the same result, but this time, there won't be a job for you to go to. They're going to roll out the digital ID and say, okay, you don't have to take the jab. So instead of a vaccine ID, we're going to have a digital ID so we know who you are. And depending on how you behave is going to be the determination for how much money is in your account that you can, or how much traveling you can do, or whether you have to sit in your house and house arrest. You guys all made that possible. Don't look to the governments. Don't look to Klaus Schwab. The people made that possible because they didn't care. And they let their governments be stolen. Now, how many are going to be smart enough to beg God for help? To realize the jig is up, they lost. To realize they have only one other option left in the world, and that's God. How many are going to be smart enough to know that without Jesus, there is no way? Without Jesus, there is no truth. How many are actually going to be smart enough to figure out that they have nothing and their children have nothing? They don't even have their children anymore. How many are going to be smart enough to figure out they've lost everything? And how many are going to have to be killed because they won't realize the truth? How many are going to be there at ground zero when the nukes start flying? How many will realize they need to repent in that five-minute window they have versus how many are going to stand there like dumb shits and go with it? It doesn't matter. They were never here anyway. If you look at certain people and the way they change when history changes, like today, how they've all got their Ukraine thing on, and Biden suddenly like a semi-hero. If you look at that, that's all you need to know about why there will not be a human race in the future, probably. There may be up to 90% of the people killed in a very short period of time. God's allowed for it. He's already talked about it in the book of Revelation. I think when I added it up, I got about 92% of the people will be killed on the earth before the return of the Lord. I believe I got that. I added it up. There was like a third and then another third. So that's two-thirds. And that includes, of course, creatures. That includes, you know, beasts, not just humans. And I don't know how I finally got it up to around 90%, but I did it, and I did it live. You know, I did a whole recording about it. I went through each scripture, you know, adding it up. And I finally got to that number. I said, you know, do most people realize that, you know, because when Klaus Schwab is talking about 90% of the people, population being gone, right? Do people realize that that's paralleling the Bible? I don't think they do. I don't think they think that means them. You know, that it would be like the days, no, this is how we burned up, and what will burn it up? What burns better than anything else? Nuclear, right? That's one way. The nuclear, biological war, all those things add up to where you could definitely get, you know, creatures of the sea. Third of the sea dies, a third of humanity, and then another third. Of course, that's 66 and two-thirds. So how do we get it up from there to past 70, 80 to 90%? There was a way, and I can't remember it right now. I did it in 2002. Anyway, so the only hope we really have is the Lord, the way, the truth, and the life. Outside that, there is no way, and there is no truth, and there is no life. So I think that narrows it down. And even if you're going to go up in some conflagration here, you really aren't going anywhere. You're really just going to the Lord. You know what I mean? You're not being lost. No child of God walking around this world is lost. You know, you have a purpose here, and that's probably to either scare or comfort. The Bible says scare them into submission if that'll work, or comfort them. Make your mind up. It seems to me like now with this Ukraine thing, people are so caught up with that you can't get their attention away from it. They're all excited. I don't think they've hooked up the fact that you know, this G7, including the traitorous United States, which is a traitor to its own people. I don't think that means Democrat and Republican and anybody else. The people have been betrayed. There has been a coup d'etat, I don't know how many years ago, back when John F. Kennedy was killed. Even before that, with the Bay of Pigs and the Cuban Missile Crisis, the Cold War. Who knows when exactly it happened? But, you know, the country was gone back in the, you know, I guess it was gone after World War II. You know, I mean, even before that, when you consider the, you know, the Federal Reserve Act, you know, the creature of Jekyll Island, when you consider the banking cartels in those days, you know, the fiat money, fiat currency, you know, getting taken off the gold standard. All this stuff happened to us. Where were we? Well, we were not, we were on drugs. We were listening to, you know, music and smoking weed and, you know, and how experimenting with free love and, you know, just having our, doing our own thing. That's what we were doing back then. Burning down a few administration buildings because we didn't, you know, we didn't like the fascist ways. Patty Hearst joining the Symbionese Liberation Army and having the big shootout in L.A. But, oh, conveniently, she wasn't there, so she didn't get gunned down. You know, I saw some of the Hearst. They were, they had a movie. There was like, they self-produced or they produced a movie or somebody. There was a couple of Hearsts in it that had something to do with it. Yeah. Anyway, you know, so much for that, for powerful people. But, yeah, Patty Hearst was a, raised in, you know, privilege and the whole bit was, you know, daughter of, you know, William Randolph Hearst. And she joined a radical group called the Symbionese Liberation Army that wanted to go to war with the U.S. government, who is basically coddled by the FBI, that eventually all died in a big shootout in L.A., in a house in L.A. And the interesting point about it is she was one of the spokesperson of the Symbionese Liberation Army, and eventually they figured out that she'd been brainwashed to join them. But it's oftentimes someone that comes from the rich will join the rebel side to overthrow the, you know, the horrible, you know, the banks and whatnot, having, you know, come from privilege and deciding to go radical. Che Guevara is another good example of that. Did they help? I don't know. Maybe talk to someone in Cuba. Did that help Cuba? Does that help Venezuela? Having a big Che picture up there? Patty Hearst never really became a hero because she was brainwashed to you know, and that was her defense to get her off jail time, I believe it was, because she was she had been brainwashed, and she really wasn't herself. So she never claimed that the goals of the Symbionese Liberation Army were her goals. Symbionese Liberation Army was a leftist guerrilla outfit that wants to go to war, a little tiny outfit that wants to go to war with the U.S. government. Yeah, that's, and, you know, and capitalism. She refused to conform to the world, right? She didn't want to become part of the criminal fascist cabal. So she joined up with them. And this is what happens when children rebel in some of these families, where they say, look, you have to accept a certain amount of criminality and perversion. That is the right that we've had to endure to be privileged like we are. And when the kids don't go along with it, they go all the way the other way. And if they don't go all the way the other way and rebel, at least spectacularly, the parents can have them done away with. And, you know, through hiring a hitman or, you know, do something to make it look like an accident. And I'd witnessed all of that. Unfortunately, you know, I grew up in such lack of freedom in such a police state that I probably didn't know anything about freedom until I was maybe in my 20s. I realized that, you know, I made the decision. I was playing drums in a band, and that was about as free as I was going to get right there. Because they watch you, you know. They want to see if you're going to go radical or not, or whether you're going to accept it. If you accept it, then you accept a certain amount of criminality in the world, and you're gonna be, you know, nodding and winking at the various institutions. You're going to understand there's some weird things that are expected of you, and that if you know you're young, so they're going to tell you that, you know, you basically have to give in to what the adults are saying to you, you know, so it's a form of abuse. Versus being a rebel, where you say, "Hell with the whole thing. Kill your parents. Kill your mother. Kill your father. They're worthless anyway. They're a blight in the world anyway. They got their money through criminality, through cheating, lying, stealing, and they don't deserve it. So kill them." Versus, "Okay, I want to come up the way you did, Dad. Or Mom, I want you to be my role model." "It's okay, I accept it. I don't want to, the world, it's a cold place out there. I like the warmth. I want to be connected to people. I don't want to be out on my own, the Lone Ranger. Please don't put me out there. Let me come in from the cold." "Are you sure you're going to get along this time?" "I give you my word, I'll do anything that's asked of me." "Okay, now that's a much better attitude. Come on in." You understand, don't you? The same speech was given in the David Lynch movie, Mulholland Drive. You remember that? The cowboy played the part of Satan, and he was the one running Hollywood. And the cowboy told him, you know, "Hey, listen, when the director wasn't cooperating," he goes, "No, you better get your attitude straight. You know, or else all this goes away. You lose it all." Talking about, directing a big movie, and, you know, all he had to do was put in the girl they wanted to put in and, you know, make a couple of compromises, and he wouldn't do it. Cowboy had a talk with him and said, "You know, you better straighten your attitude up. Now, you know what could happen. You know, people end up dead all over the place." Then the cowboy made sure that the main protagonist, Diane, she blew her brains out. She wasn't exactly going along with the program, right? Because she was, but the cowboy, he ran all of Hollywood. And everybody's job was contingent upon the cowboy saying so. And nobody got to do their own thing. Everyone was a slave to the cowboy. Every single person. And to date, to wit, and in front of God, I will say this. I have yet to see anybody doing an accurate analysis of Mulholland Drive on any of these pages or anywhere at any time. They have because all we're discerning here that's a little different from the way they want to analyze it is we're discerning that the cowboy is actually running things from behind the scenes. Now, you don't have to make a leap and say he's Satan, but only Satan has those kind of supernatural powers. So, you know, it's not a big leap. But Americans are so stupid, they didn't even get that much. You know, so how are you going to run a film school? You take your kids to film school, but they don't even know that much. I mean, at least let the kid understand the difference between right, wrong, selling out, going along, or rebelling. At least let them know, no, they don't want you, that's... See, that's too much to know. Once you know that much, you got to go to the psychiatrist, where they have to then watch you, put you on medication, make sure you can be controlled. We don't want anyone talking out of turn. Now, the right way to look at this Ukraine crisis is to get on the bandwagon, give old you know, Joey, Uncle Joey, some props when they trot him out today that he's doing a good job with Ukraine. And let him know you appreciate the high gas prices. It's not his fault. It's the Ukraine fault. And all the things going on with the Great Reset aren't his fault. It's the Ukraine's fault. Now start getting that through your head. Start getting that through your head. It's the Ukraine's fault. I can't afford to go on any trip. It's the Ukraine's fault that everything is canceled. It's the Ukraine's fault that I lost my job. It's the Ukraine's fault that I don't have enough food to feed my family. Come on. Sing the praises now. You're being completely raped to death by the Biden administration, claiming it's the Ukraine's fault, something that he's helped to engineer himself and themselves. Jen Psaki was probably, you know, doesn't even need a dildo to get an orgasm. She was having them right there talking to the press. Everything she said, they don't, oh, yes, ma'am. Oh, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, whatever you say, ma'am. Is there going to be higher gas prices? Oh, yeah, she says. With glee, with great glee, with excitement and enthusiasm, there's going to be higher gas prices. Yes. That's going to kill a lot. That's going to hurt a lot of small businesses. It's going to be very hard logistically to fly people here and there. We're all going to have to tighten our belts. Now that this is going on, now that the Great Depression is being engineered. And I can't do anything. I can't control it. I mean, all I can do is watch it. You know, a couple years ago, I bought gold as a hedge. Pretty smart. I bought it at the top of the market, though, and then they shorted it. And they kept it around 1,800 ever since, you know, 17, 18, you know, up and down. And I said, I don't care if I overpaid. Good deal. Now, of course, today I'm thrilled. It's not going to, you know, do anything for me. It's not going to make things, you know, that much easier. But it's going to, you know, it's going to be there as a help for food and hopefully. But you know, maybe by that time we'll have to barter. I've been thinking about buying whiskey. You know, by the caseload. A few cases of whiskey and bullets. Yeah, I figure, you know, one of the popular ones is the 45 ACP, you know, is pretty popular. The 9mm is pretty popular. The AR-15 ammo is pretty popular, right? It's like a 22, what, 223, whatever it is, 5.56. Anyway, have some of that stuff on hand for bartering. What else would be good? Things like soap. You know, toilet paper, obviously. It costs a lot to store that, but I'd say if I were you, I'd start, you know, forget COVID-19. Now's the time to pile up now when no one's looking. You know, to start. They say they're going to have people that are going to, you know, at least let's have a silver lining, okay? Here's the silver lining that I've been shown. With the focus on the Ukraine, they're not up your ass on your street, right? They're not bothering you. They're not coming to get you right now. Right? They're just saddling you with high gas prices and just a bummer of a time, which is Klaus Schwab and Biden and Jen Psaki and intelligence community and blah, 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 blah. You know, they're all in on it, right? The Joint Chiefs of Staff, the U.S. military, they're all in on it. Can you imagine having to die being that much of a traitor, Judas? Judas America. You know, Judas France, Judas Canada, Judas Australia, Judas, you know, blah, 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 Judas everywhere. And now it's, I know what China's thinking. They're just itching to go get Taiwan, aren't they? And who here is going to do anything? Everyone here is, they're too feminized to do anything. Nothing against femininity, but femininity is not exactly, you know, the testosterone you need on the battlefield, right? Duh. It's like, Hindus, I can't figure that much out. That sounds racist. Too angry. Sue said, well, you were on social media. Where did you go? My friend, producer Mike, he said, what happened? And I said, I didn't write him back yet, but I'll say what I was going to tell him. It's basically, I'm too angry to be on social media. I'm worried that I'll say something to get myself or Trish in trouble. I really am. I'm ready to go right to the gallows with people. I mean, I'm sorry, but I can't stand it anymore. I can't stand it anymore. I can't stand the treason, the lying, the hypocrisy, the murderous intent against innocent people by the government, the cruelty. I just can't take it anymore, folks. I can't take it anymore. What can't you take? I can't take seeing the people not do anything. I don't want to advocate violence either, but I don't want them to just be a sitting duck. Oh, well. God, when I think of those people in Canada, those poor truck drivers, that the mayor decided to confiscate their trucks and sell them. But a lot of these guys, those trucks weren't paid for. They're going to be on the hook for that debt, and they're going to have nothing to drive. And the prices for gas will be so high, they won't be able to have a convoy anymore. You don't think that's part of their plan as a way to lock us all down? Is take our gas away. They said they're going to do that. This is the worst thing that's ever happened. And could all was unnecessary. It was all because they hate us. If they're just normal people, basic people in there, I don't care whether they're Democrat or Republican, just basic people. I'm not a Republican, and I'm not a Democrat. I'm not in any one of those things. Like I said, I'm more just take each issue as it comes. But I mean, yeah, pretty basic person here. But, I don't know. I guess this is the time when stupidity reigns. This is the time when people give their hard-fought freedoms away. This is the time where they just get fired and they go home and they don't complain. This is the time when they have their trucks confiscated and they go home and sit on their hands and don't complain. This is the time where the government comes into houses, forces compliance with digital IDs, and again, they don't complain. And finally, this is a time where not just euthanasia, but extermination begins of various groups of people, and nobody bats an eye. And then it comes time for them to die. And they scream and yell, what did they do wrong? They went along with everything the government told them, and now look what's happening. Indeed, if it happened to my friend over here, it could happen to me. If it happened to some group over here, it could happen to me. But most of us have lost that ability to have empathy. You know, the difference between the narcissist, psychopath, and a normal person is lack of empathy in the narcissist. That's all it is lack of empathy in the psychopath. That's the difference, the main difference. It doesn't occur to them that the other guy, you might be causing the other guy to suffer. And that's the entire U.S. government. Whether you look at the conservative side of, say, a Mitt Romney, You look at the leftist side of, you know, a Cory Booker or something like that. Doesn't matter, or anything in between. They all have that same, you know, trait. And, of course, you can see it in Biden, where he's having his ice cream cone while he's got the hot poker up your ass. You know, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. But the one thing is, if you want me to, Lord, I will detach completely from this world. I will not look at another social media site or any news or anything. I will surround myself with Scooby-Doo and whatever else there is in cartoons, Superman and Thor or whatever else. I'll surround myself with comic books and music. And, you know, I'll smoke organic marijuana along with a healthy amount of vodka. And I'll just live there. I'll live there in that cage, immune from all the pain and torture that they want to do to me all day long. Or you'll just take me home. Is there even a part of me that wants to stick around at this point? Is there anything I would miss about this world besides friends, of course? But other than that, well, I mean, I like the ocean and different things, but I don't like the way my toes look 20 years later. When they're in the sand, they look so wrinkled. They look so new back then. Exactly. Is there anyone that wants to come back here and do it again? You ready for another round? Are you ready to go home? And when I say home, I mean limitless home. You know, home is limitless. It's anything you think it is. And everything, it's anything and everything. There's no such thing as a staid heaven. It's just like, it's this, you know, thing that doesn't change. It's all, you know, undulating, morphing, changing. And who we are, inhabiting a body and earth or not, you know, we can just go on an escape, a permanent escape. Well, the New Age spirituality here on Earth is lousy. It's not a good escape. But I'll tell you what they provided for the kids. And it's only kids. It's kids, you know, 10, 11, you know, 8. It's called virtual reality, and it's called Meta. And they're all flocking to that. And basically that's all about sex. So you can imagine the predators that get in there, right? Now, Keanu Reeves, he took a deep dive into that, which is basically grooming for pedophilia. And they admit it. They say, we're grooming you to obey adults when they want to gang rape you. And then, you know, so he's fine with that. The other thing he's fine with is his film that he executive produced, which means he had skin in the game, you know, either personal money or a guarantee, something, called Replicas. We're basically cloning. And so that right there, I mean, being an advocate of cloning, of getting his family back, having a happily ever after, you know, type of, you know, movie, to, you know, it was really a poor movie, but it showed a certain attitude about life. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I've seen enough. Next. I used to like him back in, you know, what was it, Bill and Ted's, or what was he in? He was in Point Break, and of course the Matrix series. I like the first one. He was in various things, you know, and he was fine. I liked him, you know. Now his role in life is to be the coolest cat in town and to be the coolest guy there is and to be like almost like the guru to listen to. And that mystique was built up by his press agents and everybody around him, and I think it sucks because he's just basically an idiot. Next. You know, it's funny. When I read Sylvester Stallone's screenplay of Rambo, it was like one of the best written screenplays I'd ever... I mean, it was gold. It showed a very intelligent guy. You know, not the, you know, Adrian, you know, it's like, you know, it was just so... Well, there's Rambo, you know, also Rocky. But then, you know, Rocky, Rambo, it was the first Rambo. And his use of language and style in that screenplay was the best I'd ever seen, besides John Huston. You know, here's a guy that is, most people don't think he's that smart. He was just whip smart, you know, just like super smart. You know, that doesn't mean I agree with everything he does or whatever else. No, I'll see a Keanu Reeves movie. I'm not going to blackball him from my life. If there's a good movie and he's in it, I'll see it. He's a good actor. But there's this, the mystique they were trying to create, like he's a cool guy. I just, you know, it's the pedophilia, it's the, you know, that line there. You know, when that gets blurred, I really get turned off by it because I've seen what it can do to people. I mean, like all my friends are dead from childhood. They're all dead. They all died. They drove their cars off cliffs. They blew their brains out, a couple of them. They, you know... They did everything, but the main thing is they were all had a problem with the system. They all rebelled, and they're all not here. And so you see it kind of like I try to be okay and feel good. I feel so good. It feels so nice being here on this wonderful earth. But I realize why God made it. He didn't make it for me to go get my toes in the sand in the Caribbean, although that's nice. You can also get rock fever out there. So, no, I don't. Paradise is an illusion. It can be a paradise anywhere you are. But I know why God made this. And because I know that, I know something the public doesn't know. And that makes me really feel good. Because at the end of the day, God made this for one reason and one reason only, to make that decision what to do with our wonderful gift of free will. And, you know, also, you know, living your life and proving yourself worthy, all that stuff. But it all comes down to that one decision, doesn't it? The gift of free will is a gift of absolute love. And the ability to choose what to do with it is a gift beyond comprehension. That's not wired into, like, you know, the lizards and the, you know, the animals and the earth, right? They do what they do by instinct. We have, along with that comes self-reflection. You know, we are sentient beings capable of reflecting on our behavior and our inner lives and our thoughts. And, you know, what we think about something. Because we need that faculty in order to figure out what to do with our free will. And the idea that I can choose, you know, this day whom I will serve, realizing that we give our free will to that which we serve. And when we do that, we are expected to be loyal to that decision, and most are, because you just basically go to where you belong. You go, oh, I'm with you. Here. Take my free will. I mean, I know I can rebel if I want to, but I just want to be in your will, Lord, and I choose you. You chose me. I choose you as one. I'm a child of the Most High God. That's my free will choice. And that's the way it's going to stay. And I repent for whatever I've done wrong, said wrong, cussed, eat too much, drink, whatever it is, I repent. I just want to be with you, Lord. I just got to walk this thing out. I just got to not be afraid because you are with me. Psalm 91, Psalm 37, Psalm 23, right now, complete. It's already just burned into my heart and my mind. And that is the most beautiful gift anyone can give anyone, a sentient being capable of doing anything. That feels guilt, that has self-reflection, like a god. And then comes to understand that they're supposed to do something with that, to make a decision, but it's theirs to make. And that is why this world exists. The Lord inhabits the praises of his people. The Lord will lead us through this battlefield, through these troubled times, and nothing else will. But when you see how incredibly foolish they are, who go by their own designs, even now when it's proven to them that this is way beyond their pay grade, way beyond their capability to comprehend, and they still, even though feeble-minded, continue to make mistakes, one after another, after another, after another, and have no victories. And when we have a victory, we go, Lord, the victory belongs to you, Lord. The first place belongs to you, Lord. Everything is yours. I give you my heart, mind, soul, everything, my free will. Please take me. Please guide me. Please bring me home. I've been lost in the world, but now I'm found. Thank you for saving me. I believe in you, and I believe every word of it. I believe you came here and you rose from the dead, that I would have eternal life if I believe in you, which, of course, I believe in Jesus. You know, a little known thing is not just Jesus raising from the dead, but Jesus raising others from the dead, and even Peter raising a woman from the dead. What do you think about that? What the Satanists are enamored with and obsessed with, life extension, raising from the dead, beating death. It's already done. It's a done deal. Don't need to worry about it. Now, if I figure out a way to modify my... No, my anger is sinful. Of course I admit that. I'm so angry I could put my fist right through the TV, through the wall, through the mirror, through anything. I could really hurt myself. I'm so pissed off with the fact that people don't understand the truth. I'm not saying that I have all the events exactly right, or Putin's motivation, or this and that, or Ukraine, or COVID, or, you know, I've done the best I could, but when all the facts have come out on COVID, I have not had to retract almost nothing. With Putin and Russia, I didn't know whether it was going to be a wag the dog, or they're going to actually invade, or I saw that Putin made some security deals with some people in Ukraine, and then he's bombing others. I guess the Nazis are fighting. The Soros forces are fighting back, and they're all meeting, and, you know, they're all getting angry, but they're not angry. You know, the G7 is bankrupt, man. They love this war. Oh, God. I just don't want to be a part of any of this. I have not much more to say about it. I'm not a Russian. Putin's not my president. I have Joe Biden as my president. Joe Biden is my president. And he loves me. I know he does. I know he loves me. I can tell. I can tell he loves me. I can tell he loves us all. Just the way he eats his ice cream cone. Doesn't he make you want one of those waffle cones with two scoops in it? Is that what's keeping him together? Or is it one big scoop? It's one big scoop, right? Not two little scoops. You know what I used to, when I was a kid, I'd take those waffle cones and I'd whittle it all the way down to where it's just like a little, very small size to the tip. And there'd still be ice cream in there, and I'd bite the tip off and suck the ice cream through the hole of the tip that I would make. Why did I enjoy doing that? I have no idea. Just, I guess to see how long it would last. I don't know. Anyway, God bless you, each and every one. I am, please, yeah, forgive me for the GD word in the beginning. I'm just so angry. I almost sound like Alex Jones now, right? He'll be good, and he loves the Lord, and then he slips, and he says, God damn those fuckers, you know. And then it's, I'm sorry, and I feel like I'm kind of going the same thing when I'm watching in horror. In absolute horror. At, you know, well, around here in Santa Fe. Don't get me wrong, I love Santa Fe. Santa Fe County. The town's okay, but I mean, I love the open spaces. And I'm in the county. I'm not in the city. And today it snowed. Everything is snowbound. It got down to zero last night. So I had to break out the old furnace. What's it called? A stove? So what happened, I had this wood stove, and I put it in the fire. I had it in kind of just into the mouth of the fireplace, the big hearth there. And it was run by gas. You could throw lots of wood on the fireplace and burn it up. But that didn't keep us warm. You know what I mean? So I put this stove there. It fit perfectly, and a little part of it's, you know, sticking in the opening for the fireplace. So it uses that chimney, you know, and it's been wonderful. I got it going yesterday, sitting here looking at these embers glowing, and I'm just, you feeling the heat from it? Yeah. I mean, it was cold. This wind came 2 days ago, and it got, I mean, it was, the radiant heaters were up. They did no good. We have mini split heaters. They don't do any good. Once it gets down below about 15 degrees, they don't do any good. So I got this thing going, and you know what? It's just absolutely a delight. It absolutely is powerful in heating up. It's in the big room here, the big, you know, kind of living room area. It's kind of a big living room. And it heats it the whole thing. So, yeah, no, you need more wood, though, because they... It does eat wood. Got another oven like that, a pizza oven. It says you can put wood in it, but I just don't know. I don't want to screw it up. You know? Anyway, that's been my problem, folks. I'm just worried that I'm going to say something. And then, you know, I have... The other thing that pisses me off about, like, Facebook and things like that is... I mean, I don't mind it for the advertising, because, boy, it's got good advertising, and I've bought a few things off there, and they seem to really tune into stuff you're looking for. But, I mean, it's a good way to advertise our independent movies, our, you know, website that's coming up. I mean, Crazed House has got a fantastic idea for a website. We've got a young guy that he's really, really good at that stuff, really great at graphics, and graphics are moving around and doing things, and... And then we have these different, you know, portal of, like, for movies, of course, is one thing. But we also have ideas for, like, you know, getting this comic strips going. Oh, yeah, got to have comics or graphic novel, but really start with a comic strip about what happens to certain characters in these movies and things. We can follow the character in either a comic strip or a kind of, you know, kind of an illuminated storyboard type of treatment, and be able to kind of even follow on video, you know, some of these people's progress and different things. And there are just little premiums you can get along with. I don't think we're going to offer this. We're thinking about offering a, you know, as Girl Next becomes more entrenched in the world. We just sold it to Australia and New Zealand. So, you know, that's a pretty big Latin America, you know, North America, Canada, UK, Russia, Germany, and yeah, I think working toward, you know, I may be wrong on some of those, but I mean, it's, you know, it's escalating. And if it survives as a cult piece, which I think it will, then maybe we can have a chance to create some merchandise. You know, hats, shirts, but I was thinking of a bottle of vodka, but color it blue. Have a little clue in it. Yeah, no, we're all about the Quantum Quartet and where it's going, and The Voice is the next installment of it, and it's... I'm turning in the last part of the screenplay work today on my end, and then we'll see what our team thinks about it and some notes. And then it's after that, we're going through the process of, you know, finding some partners. And before we do that, we're going to be producing a documentary about how society was written if I was under amnesia, which is going to have a lot of heavy hitter people talking on. I mean, it's a weird subject, but it's not all about me. It's really just how peculiar, you know, the thing that came about as a screenplay and it wound up being this cult hit even down to today, some 34, 35 years later, you know. But I tend to create stuff like that that just lingers. It never really goes away. You know, and part of that is because it's just because there's all, you know what it is? There's this idea of wrongdoing. It's like there's been some kind of injustice. So, it's true. And it's weird. It's a weird thing. No. Nobody owes me anything, but I'm just saying there's, you know, you get this feeling of like, you know, it persists because there's an untold story. There's something there that's not right. That's got to be made right, you see. And that's true. I think there is that. And, we'll see you. I can never. Hmm.